Praise God for the privilege of being here. But you know what? You and I are salt and light. We're influencers. We're the ones that God has called to stand in the gap on behalf of this nation. Amen. We are influencers one way or another. Amen. And we need to be influencing for Jesus. Amen. And you can't be an influencer for Jesus if you haven't been with Jesus. Amen. As you abide in Jesus, you'll be an influence for Jesus. So we abide in Him. We rely upon His grace to be the people we're called to be and to do the things He's called us to do. Amen. God doesn't tell you to do something without backing it up. Amen. He'll grant you the grace you need, the supply of His Spirit. Hallelujah. You know, the devil doesn't want you and I to know who we are. And he doesn't want us to know what we're capable of accomplishing for the Lord. Amen. And he tells us lies. He oppresses us. And too often we just put up with it without a fight. How many have ever done that? Just sat there and listened to that wrong voice beat up on you until all of a sudden you realize that, hey, I'm listening to the wrong voice here. And you see, if the enemy can defeat us in our minds, then he can defeat us in life. So title of the message this morning is Our God is a Mighty Warrior. Our God is a Mighty Warrior. And isn't it interesting that yesterday when I sent out the scripture from Exodus, somebody had responded, and this is after I had already chose the title of this message. And guess what they responded with? Our God is a Mighty Warrior. And you know, there's a little sign above the ladies' bathroom that says prayer changes things. And boy, and God says, your responsibility is pray, amen? And as we pray and agree with heaven, God changes things, hallelujah. So our God is a mighty warrior, hallelujah. You know, you and I are soldiers, right, in God's army. And I'm piggybacking on Wednesday night. I'd like to invite you to come out. If you don't have something going on Wednesday night, come out and be a part of this. And God is with us, amen? And He's moving among us, and I want you to be a part of that.
And Monday and Friday
also. And Monday night prayer meetings at 6 and Friday at 6, amen? And so, you remember when in Judges chapter 6, Israel was in a place where they'd never been before. Everything that they sowed was being robbed from them. The Midianites would come and steal everything from them. And they were in a place of hopelessness. Ever felt like you're just putting, you know, your investments in a bag full of holes, or everything that you try to do seems to just be fruitless, or it doesn't seem to turn out, you know, the way you anticipated it would? Well, we've all been in places, not where maybe we're hopeless, but maybe temporary feelings of hopelessness, right? There's a difference. But Israel had been oppressed by their enemies for years. And you know, after years go by, people can become hopeless, you know. And sometimes we just can find ourselves in that place wondering, God, are you ever going to answer my prayers? Are you ever going to bring my deliverance? Are you ever going to bring my healing? Are you going to bring my provision? You know, and yet we just heard our sister testify. It's been months, but yet God answers prayer. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And I believe in the momentum of prayer. Amen. We stay in the momentum. Keep on praying. Keep on asking, it says. Keep on what? Seeking. And keep on knocking. Yes. Amen. It didn't say ask once. It says keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. And the door will be opened unto you. So in Judges 6:11, it says the angel of the Lord... Okay, he came to this man called Gideon, right? And sat under the terebinth tree, which was an Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abizurite. Did I say Abizurite? While his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you. How many know this one? You mighty man of valor. What's he doing? He's hiding from his enemy. He's threshing wheat, right? And a wine press, so he wouldn't be seen, so the Midianites couldn't steal what little crop he had left. And it was in this place where he was hiding out, trying to conceal himself from the enemy, that the angel of the Lord appears. Sometimes at the lowest points in our lives, amen, are the biggest miracles. and said to him, the Lord is with you. You know, sometimes that's all we need to know. Is the Lord with me? Yes. If he's with me, I don't have to fear. I don't have to worry. I don't have to be concerned like the world. Amen? The world is worried about everything. God's people should not be worried about anything. Amen? We pray about everything. We entrust it to the Lord. Amen? We wait on God in his perfect time. How many times has God come through for you already in your life? Amen? I know we could go for hours here, right? Of all the times when maybe it looked hopeless that God intervened. Sometimes at the midnight hour, but never late. He's faithful. But he says to Gideon, the man that was in fear, you are what, a mighty man of valor. Identity. He wanted him to know who he was. And why was he a mighty man of valor? Because the Lord is with you. Come on. We don't have that in us. It's not of us. It's of him. He is the strength of our life. Amen. We rely upon his power, not our own. We rely upon his wisdom, not our own. Amen. It's not about who we are. It's who he is in us. Amen. And God wants to release his life out of us. Amen. To the watching world around us. So he comes and he basically validates him. He says, you are a mighty man of valor. He's probably saying, who, me? He needed to know this because he had accepted the identity that the world had assigned to him, the enemy had assigned to him, that you're punk, that you're fearful, that you're nobody, that you'll never amount to anything. Are you hearing me? How often have we felt this way? If God is with me, then why this or why that? How many know you need to take those thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ? We should never question God's faithfulness. Just because we don't understand something doesn't mean God is not faithful. Amen? We should never question God's faithfulness because he is who he is. And he is faithful and he is true. And he does not change. That's why we can trust him, because he does not change. Because he remains faithful and he remains true. Amen? So God had already told him through the prophet, by the way, previous to this, what the problem was. And in this case, it was compromised. The nation had been compromising the will of God, compromising with their enemies. And in verse 9, it says, I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all who pressed you. The Lord's reminding them of this. And drove them out before you and gave you their land. Also, I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites and whose land you dwell. But what? But you have not obeyed my voice. You and I cannot defeat our enemy if we're compromising with them. You know, we're not to take any prisoners when it comes to the flesh and to the devil. We need to deal a death blow to the sin nature. We have to utterly deny that part of us. Because Israel had compromised with their enemies, Israel had then become oppressed by their enemies. You see, when people compromise or try to strike deals with the enemy, I'll leave you alone if you leave me alone. Because they compromised, come on, with the enemy, they were oppressed by their enemies. You understand? If you fear your enemy, he will oppress you. If you're afraid of your enemy, he will push you around. He'll torment you. How many know God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind? Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. When God calls us, he also equips us, right? You already have everything you need in Christ. You have authority and you have power. Colossians 2:10 says, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. So we're given the task to share the gospel of the kingdom, to make disciples, to cast out demons, to heal the sick. Amen. John 14:12, Jesus said this, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, The works that I do, he will also do, right? Do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. What did he mean by that? He was going to the Father and he was going to send the Holy Spirit upon the church. Amen. And empower us to continue the works that Jesus began to do. And we have been given the task of destroying the works of the devil. Hallelujah. If we are ineffective in ministry, it's not due to a lack of authority, but a lack of faith in our God-given authority and the God of that authority. Now, we know the Lord is a lover. Would you say amen? He is a shepherd. He's a provider. He's our protector. And he's our merciful high priest. He's our Father. But he's also a righteous judge, a mighty king, and a warrior. God is gracious. God is kind. God is good. Amen. But God is also mighty. And he is an almighty God. And he has all power. Amen. And he is a righteous king. And he is a mighty warrior. Hallelujah. Because God is very kind. And he's merciful and he's compassionate. But God will bring judgment upon those who continue to rebel against him and refuse to repent of the rebellion. Do you understand that God is being very patient with America? God is being very patient with people right now. Amen. With us. Because he's not willing that anyone should perish. He's giving people a space, a time, an opportunity right now to repent of their sins and turn to the only one that can save them, the only one that can forgive them. Amen. And so God is being merciful. He's being gracious right now. We're living in a time of his grace. Amen. But that time of grace will one day come to a close. There will be the day when the Lord shuts the door. Amen. And there will be then those who refuse to listen in the time of opportunity, who will knock and say, Lord, open the door. Let us in. And it'll be too late. Do you understand? God is merciful. He's patient. He's not willing that anyone should perish, but God is going to seal the door someday. He's going to shut the door of opportunity. Amen. How many know that Jesus was crucified before us? Jesus suffered and died for us. He paid the highest price. He died a brutal death on the cross. Amen. Because he took upon himself the iniquity of us all. Amen. God laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Amen. He suffered for us. Amen. And so God, in his mercy, amen, is being patient, not willing that anyone should perish, but saying, listen, the door of opportunity is yet open. It's still open. But now is the time that you must repent. Now is the day of salvation. Come on. And so we have to understand that God's patience will one day be over. Are you hearing me? As it was in the days of Noah, God was very patient with that generation. Amen. But the day came when the rains came. Amen. And God himself, it says, did what? He shut the door. And it was too late. You see, if you ignore him, he will ignore you. If you reject him, he will reject you. If you receive him, he will receive you.
Amen. Yes.
It's no mystery to us, but we're engaged in a spiritual war. Yes. We're in a battle. Right. And you must fight in a battle. Amen. You cannot be passive. You cannot just hunker down and hope it'll pass away. Are you hearing me? You need to confront your enemy. Why? Because your enemy has already been given into your hand. God's already given you your enemy into your hand if you're a child of God. So you don't have to tolerate the devil. But if he can intimidate you, as he did Gideon, come on, he can oppress you. He can rob you of your joy. He's after your faith. Amen. He wants you to doubt who your God is and who you are in him and what you can accomplish in his name. If you're in a war, you have to learn how to fight. Amen. That's why soldiers go through this thing called basic training, right? King David, he was known as a man after God's own heart. David loved the Lord. David was a worshiper. Amen? He pursued the Lord. He wasn't a perfect man. He made his mistakes. Amen? But he had a heart after God, and God saw that. And to the Lord, that was of great value. He knew David's frame. He knew that he was flesh and blood, amen, and that he was frail, humanity. But God saw something in David of great value, and that was David had a heart after God. That means that David was willing to do whatever the Lord wanted him to do. Amen. Whatever you want me to do, Lord, I'll do it. And God says, perfect. I'll take an imperfect vessel, amen, and use them for my glory. Come on. God uses flawed vessels, doesn't he? Amen. Hallelujah. It was God who trained David for battle. It was God who made David succeed in his battles against his enemies. In Psalms 144, verse 1, David said, "Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who does what? Who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle." What did he do? He said, God trained me in warfare. God taught me how to fight and to win. Huh. He supplies the ability, the power, amen, that we need, but we need to know how to use what we have. We need to know our weaponry, amen? We need to have confidence that God is our armor. He is our protection, amen? And if you're in a war, amen, you got to fight to win. And the key here is that Christ our Lord has already overcome the world, the flesh, the devil. He's overcome it all. He has what? Some authority? All authority in heaven and on earth. And then he calls his church to go in his name and enforce the victory that he's already overwon. And that means that your enemy has been given into your hand and you don't have to tolerate the devil in your life. You need to know how to kick him out. In 2 Samuel 22:35, he teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. Did you know the Lord has promised his divine protection for those who walk with him?
Absolutely.
Thank you. I'm going to preach over here. Psalms 91. How many love Psalms 91? Verse 9. But the key here, listen, is because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. The Lord being your dwelling place, abiding in him, come on, no evil shall befall you. Nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And look at verse 13. Now he's talking about the authority of the believer. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample where? Underfoot. Why? Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place. Very key. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. Submit yourself to God. Come under his authority. Remain under his authority. And then you can resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come on. So if you abide in the Lord, he will protect you from all your spiritual enemies. And the Lord will also give you authority over the power of the enemy. Remember, Jesus told his followers in Luke 10:19, "Behold, I give you authority to do what? Trample on serpents and scorpions." He's talking about demonic power, right? And over all the power of the enemy. How much?
All
the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. How many know the Lord is able to keep us? He's able to protect us. Amen? The safest place is to be in obedience, amen, to the Lord, under his authority. And remember David. He didn't just get out there to confront Goliath. Amen. He had some training. He had some OJT, right? On-the-job training. And remember 1 Samuel 17:34, David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it." Who's a bad? It's bad. "Your servant has killed both lion and bear." What does he say? This is the power of the testimony. Do you see it? I know my God is with me. I know my God is mighty to save. I know I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. "And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them," Goliath, right? "Seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." That was confidence. That was faith in the faithfulness of God to deliver him from all of his enemies. Not just some, but all the power of the enemy. Jesus has overcome. Amen? And in his name, we also overcome. Over what? All the power of the enemy. Matthew 11:12, Jesus said, "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force." This is interesting, but I remember talking to somebody recently, and they said, "We like it here because it's more violent." They used the word violent, and I thought, that's kind of an interesting term. But violent in what? Well, we're violent against the enemy, amen? Violent against the devil, amen? Because we hate the devil. Come on, and we don't have to tolerate him. The violence Jesus is referring to here is this resolve to drive out every enemy from your life in order to possess your freedom in Christ. To drive out every enemy from your life in order to possess your freedom in Christ. "Whomsoever the Son sets free." God wants his people completely free. Devil free zone. Amen? We're not being tormented. We're not being oppressed. Amen? Because the Lord is with us. We also are like Gideon. We are mighty warriors also. We're mighty men and women of valor in the Lord. Why? Because the Lord is the strength of our lives. Because we're under the authority of Jesus. Amen? And he authorizes us to go in his name. And God will confirm his word. He will always back up his word. So we are to confront all spiritual opposition with a greater aggressive force. How do you overcome aggression? With a greater aggression. Sometimes the enemy comes after us, doesn't he? Aggressively. What do? Do we hide in the wine press? No, we rise up in the name of Jesus and the authority of our God, who's authorized us, amen, to deal with him because he's already been dealt with. He has no place in our lives. We don't give him any permission either. Amen. Here's a lesson from the past. I've used this many times, but Numbers 33:51. "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you have crossed the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, destroy all their engraved stones, destroy all their molded images, and destroy all their high places." How much of it?
All.
"You shall dispossess," verse 53, "the inhabitants of the land and dwell in it. For I have given you the land to possess." Oh, that's all that we needed to know. Do you mean it already belongs to us? Yes. Do you mean freedom is already ours by inheritance? Yes. Amen. And it could be freedom from sickness. Amen. So what do? We enforce the victory that Jesus has already won. And we come against these attacks and these lies of the enemy, who tries to get under our head. Amen. And try to rob us of our confidence in God, which has great reward. Because God is a rewarder of those who what? Diligently seek Him. But then verse 55, but the Lord said, listen, if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land. You see, some Christians are just okay to cohabitate with the enemy, just to tolerate the devil, to try to strike a deal, to try to find a happy medium. Come on. If you're in a war, you cannot be passive. You have to fight to win. Amen? And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The enemy's strongholds can be demolished. Amen? By the word and by the name of Jesus. But we have to use what God has already invested in us. We cannot receive the grace of God in vain. Amen. Why do we receive the power of God? Amen. So that we can operate in the power of God, under the authority of God. For what reason? So that we can crush the enemy in our lives. God does not want us bowing down to our enemy. He does not want us compromising with our enemy. He wants His people to have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. If you're in a war, you don't collaborate with your enemy. You're in it to win. Amen? We've got to fight. But we need to understand something. That the enemy that we're facing has already been dealt with by our commander-in-chief. So He's just saying, I want you to go in and clean up now. Clean up. All right? Dispossess. Drive them out of your family. Drive them out of your head. Drive them out of your life. Amen? Drive them out of your neighborhood. We're praying, amen, let God arise and His enemies be scattered. Lord, drive them away like smoke. Amen? But God wants freedom. He wants His people walking in that freedom. He purchased our freedom. He purchased our deliverance. Amen. He wants us to enforce it in our lives. Hallelujah. He says, if you don't drive them out, then it shall be that those whom you let remain shall be irritants in your eyes and what? Thorns in your sides. And they shall harass you in the land where you dwell. I don't know about you, but I've seen too many Christians being harassed and tolerating it. Believe me, I've had some harassment in my life. Amen? The question is, am I going to tolerate it or not? I'm done. Amen? I'm done with the devil. And Jesus has overcome him. And He has all authority. And He has authorized us to go in His name. Amen. And dispossess them. Drive them out. So driving out the inhabitants of the land would require aggression on the part of Israel. They had to fight. Well, I just hope it goes away. Well, you can hope it goes the way. God says, I've already given you what you need to use to drive out your enemy. Amen. So start using my word. The sword of the Spirit. Amen. That's what Jesus used, didn't He? When He was tempted, it is written. Today, we're commanded to aggressively overcome our spiritual enemies. How many know Jesus wasn't playing when He drove out the money changers from the temple? Matthew 21:12, then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And He said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. How many know you and I are the temple of the Holy Spirit? Today, we are the house of prayer, and we are not to allow any other gods, any other idols of in our imagination and our minds. Amen. Jesus has got to be Lord over all of us. Amen. So that's why we take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. If it does not agree with the truth, it's illegal. We don't tolerate it. Amen? How many know the God of the Old Testament is the same God of the New Testament?
Amen.
Jesus quoted from the Old Testament when he defeated Satan in the wilderness. Matthew chapter 4. So when it comes to the devil, hear me today, we can have no mercy. No mercy. No sympathy. The devil does not understand mercy. How many know that? He doesn't know what mercy is. How many know he's not going to be merciful to you? So we should have no mercy for the devil. He only understands authority and power. You cannot negotiate with Satan. I think some of our political negotiations are fruitless because you're dealing with people that are sold to Satan. And they're just not going to yield. Are you hear me? They don't understand mercy. They only understand authority and power. Violent protesters, they must be met with greater level of force in order to subdue that violence. Otherwise, they get walked on. They get trampled. So the police must take the streets back by force. Do you see it? We need to take our homes, our families, our minds, come on, back by force. As sons and daughters in Christ, we have been given that authority, haven't we? To trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. All of the power of the enemy. But sometimes, listen, our adversary does not respond to authority alone. It must be backed up with power. Amen. It's one thing to know who you are. It's another thing to have, amen, the goods or the power also to yield or to wield your sword. Amen. That's the difference between hearing a message, amen, that is intellectually preached and one that's delivered by the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven. You shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. What we need is to hear from the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yes. We're just the vessel. Yes. Hallelujah. So we're praying, Lord, use me as a vessel for you. Amen. That you will be seen. You will be heard. You will be experienced. Because it's not about me. It's about you. That's why we must be baptized with the Holy Spirit, the power of God, the dunamis. Again, Acts 1:8, you know this, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now listen, when you're born again, you receive salvation. Amen. And with salvation comes authority as a son and daughter of the Most High God. Amen? No longer in Adam, but now in Christ, we have exousia. We have authority because by virtue of being a son and a daughter, amen, we're under the umbrella, under the roof, under the authority of God. Amen? But we also need the power of God to confirm that authority. It's like a cop. Amen? He has that badge that says you have authority. But if he's all he's got is a flashlight and he's coming up against an M16 or something. Come on. How many need you need a greater level of force, amen, to oppose the opposition? Greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. God's word carries his authority. God's word carries his authority. God's power confirms that authority. Amen? Amen. Our gospel is not in word only, but in power. Amen. Dunamis. Confirming the word. God's word carries authority, and his power confirms that authority. Hallelujah. So we can overcome all our spiritual enemies by exercising both authority and power under God's authority. Paul's prayer for the Ephesian church, Ephesians 1:19. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe, This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. So what was his prayer? That the church would know, understand the what incredible greatness of God's power. It's such a sad thing, amen, when people are only just teaching the word, but they're not teaching people who they are in the Lord and the authority and the power that is available to them in Christ. Are you hearing me? So it's all about getting information and more information so we can impress people with our information. Come on. You're not impressing the devil with your information. It's one thing to have the word, but it's another thing to have the power to confirm that word. Amen. And the word and the spirit work together to confirm God's word. Amen. And we as God's people need to understand that in order for us to overcome, we're going to have to exercise our faith and we're going to have to take an aggressive stance against the devil and refuse to tolerate him any longer in our lives, in our homes, our families. Amen. Our communities. We're praying, God, bring the glory of your presence down. Amen. Even in the Northwest. Can anything good come out of Shelton, Washington? Yes. Absolutely. Amen. Hallelujah. You and I are God's gift to Shelton, Washington. You see, David learned how to fight and overcome his enemies through the things he experienced in life. That's why you have experiences. That's why you're having testings and trials. Why God is teaching you how to war. He's teaching you how to overcome. Come on. David learned through his experiences. So when the day came when he had to confront the big giant, the big dog, amen, he was ready. Because he already had the experience. Come on. And he had already seen that his God was faithful to back up his word. And that's why he had that confidence when he came against Goliath. Hallelujah. And so that's why David could say with confidence in Psalms 27:1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" I love that. Verse 2, "When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell." Experience. The enemies after your faith. He wants you and I to doubt God and who we are in Christ. But we must not tolerate doubt and unbelief. We must resist the devil. Matthew 11:12, once again, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. And the what? The violent take it by force." The land has been given to you, Israel. Go in and possess it. Amen? Your freedom in Christ has already been given to you. You just need to go and possess, amen, what God has given you. And that means you have to dispossess the enemy, amen. Have nothing to do with the devil anymore, amen. Repent of your all known sin, amen. If the Holy Spirit convicts you of something, do yourself a favor. Listen to him, amen, and repent and turn away from it, amen. Hallelujah. Get your house clean, amen. Get anything out of your house that does not honor the Lord. You don't want anything to do with it. And most importantly, this house right here, God's looking for pure vessels. He's looking for a clean house. Amen. He's not looking for a compromised house. Amen. That's full of dirt. Amen. How many know that God can cleanse the house? Amen. And then God can fill the house with the glory of the Lord. You and I are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And God wants to flood our hearts with his presence. Amen. God wants to give us boldness. He wants to give us the strength. Amen. The power to enforce, hallelujah, the victory. The word of God brings authority. Amen. And the power of God confirms that authority. God wants you and I to overcome to the end and have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Rather, turn the light on. Expose it. Like Gideon, it's important that we see ourselves as God sees us. You are a mighty man of valor, a mighty woman of valor. You are an overcomer. You are an overcomer in Christ. Stand on that. Walk in that. Don't tolerate the devil anymore. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. Take those thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. They don't agree with what God said about me. We cannot be passive in this fight, but we must meet all spiritual opposition with the greater force of God's word, under God's authority and power, and in Jesus' name. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I believe that it is possible for God's children who are filled with the Holy Spirit to lay hands on others, that they may also be filled with the Holy Spirit, that they may also receive that power. Amen. And so I want to encourage you today, if you're feeling like, you know what, I need this power, I need the dunamis, I need the power of God in my life. I've been feeling weak. Maybe you've just been going through a valley, a rough time in your life. You're just feeling weak. And you say, you know what, I could really use some prayer this morning. I would like to have my brothers and sisters pray for me, that I will receive the strength and receive the power that God has available to me today. You know, God wants you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? But we have to humble ourselves. If you humble yourself and you come and we pray, I believe God is going to fill you today. And God is going to strengthen you in your weakness. Maybe you're here today and you need healing in your body. The Lord is here to heal. Just come. If you're here today and you need healing in your body, come. If you're here today and you say, you know, I've been dealing with torment in my mind, and I can't seem to get a hold of it. I can't seem to overcome it. Well, call for some backup. Call for brothers and sisters, amen, right now, to pray with you. I need your prayers, amen? And so if you're here today and you need prayer for anything, for healing, for strength, I want you to come. And we're going to believe God for you right now. You need power. Some of you, you've just been hanging on by a thread. God wants to infuse you with fresh oil, fresh anointing this morning. If you humble yourself and come, would you make your way up here right now? God's tugging on your heart. Just come, humble yourself, and watch what the Lord will do. I want you to come to the front here. We're going to pray for you right now. Hallelujah. You see, if we pretend to be what we're not, we'll never become who we should be. So don't pretend anymore. Humble yourself and God will lift you up in honor. God will meet you right now. Do you need His touch today? Come. Hallelujah. Everybody's doing well? Anybody need healing today? Come. Step out. Believe God right now for your miracle.